Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to another episode of Nerd Up. This week, I got Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
Asa Gray.
Yes.
And I'm your host, Jesse Kimball. And we got Dalton back. Most of them. Like 95% of them.
No, it's all of it. Like, I didn't lose any
flesh
on my lip.
It was just separated.
Yeah, it was separated. Actually, I'm new and improved with the tooth.
That's true.
Yeah. My parable teeth don't show as much. Well, as much.
And for a little while, he's going to
have that was the bottom row.
And Dalton's just going to have a little bit of a thithle for a little while.
Yeah, it's not horrible. It was pretty bad Saturday.
I've just noticed a few of your S's have been a...
I'm adjusting to the new tooth.
That's annoying, because if I had noticed it, I would have, like, it would have just made my entire day.
Man, bullying. And the fact that
it's
I was...
fun and cool, kids.
Great, now Zane's going to have to go to the principal office. He's going to be like, I heard it on Nerd Up.
Pick on the weaker kids to make you feel better about yourself.
Yeah. How about I'm the weaker kid?
Yeah. We know. That's not news.
But yeah.
That's not one of the items on the news show.
Yeah, it's not. It's super unfortunate that it's the front tooth, because it is affecting some of my sounds. Like, if it was a side tooth, it wouldn't bother me at all, but I'm adjusting. It's not as in as it used to be.
Yeah, it's definitely a little bit different looking. It's noticeable.
You need to be grateful, because this is the closest I will ever listen to you speak ever.
To paying that much attention.
He's going
to
make fun of you every time, so make sure you really enunciate the crap out of those S's.
Saturday is going to be so much fun.
All right, let's get on with the actual news, though. Less news about Dalton's teeth. Toy Story 4 has officially become the fifth Disney movie of 2019 to cross $1 billion.
In case you were worried about them making money.
They've still got Star Wars, guys.
Yeah, because didn't we talk about that last week? Because Lion King was like the fourth.
Well, Lion King became like, it wasn't the, I missed.
No, Lion King broke the record. It hasn't crossed a billion yet.
That's right. It is the highest grossing animated movie of all time, though, now.
Yes.
I loved Shannon's reaction to that news. Really? That's animated? I thought it was live action. That it broke me whenever I heard it. I thought it was hilarious.
That's good stuff. I think that's the domestic gross for the Lion King news. So, yeah, I'm sure that Lion King, if it keeps going, it's going to also cross that $1 billion mark. It's very possible that it'll do that.
Can't wait for the mind control hats with ears on them.
Yeah, and especially, like, it's now gotten to where, like, at least half of our news in the movies and TV is Disney now.
So
including this next news article, Ewan McGregor has officially confirmed that he's reprising his role as Obi-Wan Kenobi in the yet to be named Obi-Wan Kenobi spinoff series on Disney Plus.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, neat. No.
Yeah.
I love Ewan McGregor.
He's
a beautiful human being.
One of the most recent Star Wars Black Series figures is McGregor as Obi-Wan. And I tell myself that I'm not gonna buy these toys. I have Harrison Ford Solo, and I have Donald Glover Lando. That's all I need.
Oh, you're getting a Ewan McGregor.
I've Obi-Wan. Oh yeah, no, it's been a struggle every time.
Like, that's happening.
The Marvel legend, like, the fact they keep making movie figures, it's just like, thank you, because it's keeping me from buying this one. But I'm gonna walk by it eventually someday and be like, $22.99 is not that bad. GameStop.
Oh, GameStop would be closed before then, probably.
I hope not.
They need to stay. until those turtles come out.
Yes, I agree. Because also the Love Triangle 3-pack of X-Men, I need that to also come out.
Because that's also good. Because that the last one of that wave comes out in December. So like, they're not going to shutter before the holidays.
Yeah,
worst case scenario, the Cape one closes, which would be terrible.
Yeah, but if they do it like they did the other Cape store closed, the one in the mall,
mm-hmm.
They closed that one like. I think it was like a March or April or something like that when they closed it. Mm-hmm. Basically, you're like right after tax season, like, died down.
Yeah,
well, I know. Like,
and then they're like, deuces.
The only reason I say that is because they just had to, like, they just let go a bunch of their, like, managers and
Like
they just let go of a bunch of employees, so it's possible, which would suck. Also, for after the show, I do have a story about GameStop lying to me just blatantly.
Fantastic.
When I went in on Friday, so
those are always fun stories.
I haven't heard this one, have I?
It just happened on Friday, because I went in to put in money on my pre-orders for the action figures. She's like, "Oh well, your thing's expired. It looks like you would have saved about $20-something if you'd re-upped that and blah blah blah." And I was like, "Oh no, yeah, that's fine." Which no, I wouldn't have, because the only thing I have purchased at GameStop the last like 6 months has been action figures or some sort of collectible.
Yeah, you do what I do.
And there's no discount on that for pro membership.
Nope.
On pro days, they'll give like some action, like if you have that, they'll give it on some action figures, mm-hmm. but you're absolutely right.
But like I went in on like Christmas, I'm pretty sure is the last thing I actually bought and left something like in my hand with the store, and that was a gift. So yeah. I was just like, oh no, you're lying. And I told her, and I was like, yeah, no, I saw that they changed the way that they're doing the rewards, and I am not a fan of that, so I don't want to.
Yeah, no, which is fair. Also, just quick aside, whenever Hastings shut down, did they refund everybody pre-orders?
No. This is a special MF-er of the week moment, if you ever want to talk about it. They just started sending you like items as pre-orders. So I, because I had... I'm sorry. This is a tangent. You asked.
I did, because I needed to know about this just
so
real quick.
I had, this was back when I was collecting Marvel Selects, and I was buying the movie ones. And it was right when Civil War came out, because the figures are always like 6 months behind the movie.
Yeah.
And I had Captain America and Iron Man. But sure. By the way, never got those figures. I had them pre-ordered.
Yeah.
And they sent me, I kid you not, Five Nights at Freddy action figures. Because they were like... hey, your pre-order's in. And I was like, oh, sweet, I didn't even know these figures came out yet. Because, like, selects, there's never a good window. So they come to me. They're like, they have your name on them. I didn't know what Five Nights at Freddy's was. Like, I had not started really teaching yet. So, like, I didn't have anybody to tell me what this game was. It was also, like, 4 years ago when that was still a very
it's
big thing.
It's also a horror thing, so there's no way you would have even been on your radar.
Yeah.
So Dalton would have died the first time one of those things jumps through the door.
Yeah, peed myself completely. And I almost pooped myself whenever I saw him because I was so angry.
That is insane. Like, so was this already past the point where you couldn't return things for cash, or?
So basically, were you able to get your money back?
Oh yeah, I got
situation?
My money back, but I was also a manager, so like that happened anyway.
Oh yeah, because there's gonna be fires.
I didn't steal.
Yeah, because basically what I'm thinking of is like the number
it's super
of people.
Important note: I didn't steal. I just had my manager take $10 off a purchase.
You know, fair. There's it's just one of those things. There are like so many people that have like money down on stuff at GameStop that you know for a long time. And I remember the way it worked when EB Games closed and it switched over to my store in the mall. Like we had to spend hours, manually like putting stuff on gift cards at one store and then transferring the pre-orders over to our store.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Was not an automated system. Might be by now. Was not then. So yeah, I'm just sitting here thinking of like the number of people that if like GameStop just shut down, their pre-orders just poof. That cash is just out.
Cause if it gets to be a thing like, hey, so you're not going to get your Shredder Ra's al Ghul 2-pack. Instead, here's a PUBG action figure. I'm going to start some fires. Ace yeah. is going to jail.
But, like, so what we ended up doing at Hastings, and, like, because we all of, like, the CTLs just kind of agreed, like, this is the correct way to do it. If somebody said they had a pre-order, or we saw it on their account, because it would show up on our account, mm-hmm. like, it would be, like, pre-orders, money spent on pre-orders, or something like that, because mine was, like, 25. We would just be like, hey, whatever you buy, I'll take that amount off.
Mm-hmm.
LP got on my tail a couple of times for that, but I was like, dude, they're not getting these items.
Right.
Like, just fire me. And they never did, but like, that's how we took care of it. I don't know how other stores took care of it. GameStop will probably do something super shady, and it's just gonna be like
gift card.
Yeah, they'll probably gift card or be like, oh, that money's just gone.
You got 3 months to spend it.
Yeah, because what I'm thinking, like, if GameStop just shutters, and you know, it's one day, like every single GameStop in the country is just, you know, door locked.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's like, well, I had pre-orders, like, all right. Cool. Then, you know, people form a class action lawsuit and everybody gets back, you know, 10 cents of however much they had on, you know, their pre-orders.
Because right now I'm
I could absolutely see them doing that because that would be significantly less money out for them. Like paying a class action lawsuit, way less money. Like it would cost them so much less money than everybody getting their pre-order money back.
Yeah, because I just realized that I really don't need that to happen because I have well over $150 in pre-orders right now at GameStop.
A lot of people do.
Yeah.
A lot of people do. I definitely
like those
don't.
Figures, the
I'm close to 200.
Yeah, the Love Triangle 3-pack was I had to put like 30 on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So and like I could also very much see like if GameStop starts, you know, throwing out some bad news, like it's looking like it's not great.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to get worse cuz I could go and just be like I want my money back.
No, yeah, that's what I was saying. Yeah. Like I could see a Great Depression like situation happening here where everybody just like, "Oh, things are looking bad. I'm going to go pull all of my money out.
I need to cancel all my pre-orders."
Suddenly like every GameStop across the country
tumbleweeds
cashing out.
There's going to be a dust bowl in every
which is super bummer because apparently they've stopped taking pre-orders on some of those figures.
Oh yeah.
Because they're like out, and also like those are GameStop exclusives.
Yeah, you can only get them through GameStop.
Yeah, which, so let's fairness, hope you actually get them, because yeah. GameStop exclusives have not had a phenomenal track record, especially recently.
Because mm-hmm. You have some employees selling the exclusives before the person can actually get to them.
No, not even so much that. Like, oh, if there that happens, were,
because I've heard of that with the Lightning figures.
I mean, I've also heard of that, but in this situation, like, GameStop just even for other stuff, like, they over pre-order.
Yeah,
like it was just, like they GameStop. I don't remember what it was recently, but I think it was like the Nintendo Switch. They were canceling people's Switch pre-orders because they had reserved too many.
The Kingdom Hearts PS4.
Yep, that was another one that happened very recently. They had pre-ordered too many.
Don't worry, fans. I didn't even get a chance to pre-order that one.
That nope. said, I've had mine pre-ordered long enough that I should be at the front of the list. I also have all of the release dates written down, so like I know when I'm going in because I know they're bad about calling.
Yeah, you need to get a hold of me on that day because I'm going to forget. The first two, at least. Yeah.
Yep. All right, so let's get back on actual news, folks. I'm really sorry about that tangent.
That one surprisingly wasn't brought to you by Press Start to Join.
Also, I'm not sorry, GameStop, if I have just, like, you know, threw the match into the let's all go cancel our pre-orders movement.
Oh, I'm happy.
I'm willing to bet not a single person is going to go cancel a pre-order because of what we just talked about.
I'm sure they won't. But if they did, oh, man, that would be funny.
I just want to get my giant man. Please don't cancel that one. Or that X-Men 3 pack.
Hold off until after December.
Okay, fair enough. All right. Netflix has ordered a He-Man Masters of the Universe TV show. It's going to be called He-Man Masters of the Universe Revelation. Apparently, it's going to pick up right where the old show left off. Which I think is a little bit of a bummer.
Same, because, like, He-Man is a property that I've always kind of, like, I've been tangentially, like, interested in because I like the character designs mm-hmm. and I like, the figures I think are cool. And I like that idea of, like, collecting them because of that's what they were. Just like, oh, that's a neat collection that people have whenever I see stuff come up. Or anytime NECA posts one of their million things, it's like, that looks awesome.
Yeah.
But I have no history with it. Like, I get Skeletor's the bad guy, He-Man good guy. End of list. Like, that's about all of my knowledge. There's a cat. I have the power, and he turns in from little dude to big dude. And
by the power of Grayskull.
Power of Grayskull, Castle Grayskull. It's cool. Like, I think Skeletor wants Grayskull, because, you know, that makes sense. But, so it'd be cool. Like, I was excited to see, like, Kevin Smith is doing it. Neat.
Yeah. They tapped Kevin Smith as the showrunner and executive producer.
Kevin's like, that's awesome, super into that. And then it's a sequel. And I was like, but I haven't seen like any the 80s stuff. And I feel like it's one of those things where, and I'd say this about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. If I didn't have that nostalgia for it, if I went back and watched the cartoon version from the 1980s, it'd probably be a rough go. Mm-hmm. But I have that nostalgia and I love it very much. It's a property I very much care for. So, oh, it's great. Whereas He-Man, if I try to go back without that, it's going to be like me watching Buffy or X-Files, where it's like, this is such a product of its time, I can't get past that.
Except dial that up to 11.
Right, because it's the 80s.
Yeah, with those cartoons. Mm-hmm. They'll ride hard on nostalgia on those. Whenever I first saw the news, like Netflix has ordered a He-Man Masters of the Universe show, I was like, oh, sweet. Are they doing it like, you know, related to or spinning off from She-Ra? Mm-hmm. Because I actually have...
Yeah.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed that show. It's really good. Super well done. So I was thinking, like, oh, cool, are they spinning that off of this? Because that would be really neat. And then I saw Kevin Smith was in charge of it. And then it's the two articles that I looked at both talked about it being an anime. So I'm thinking it's going to be similar to, like, Castlevania, in that it's, like, that the Japanese animation style with, mm-hmm. you know, it's going to be, like, a lot darker and grittier is the way that I heard a couple of people talking about it. But we don't know much about it other than that Kevin Smith is doing it, and he said that it's going to be true to the original series and is going to be a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the more I read about it, the more I was like, man. But man,
I really hate how hard they're pushing He-Man right now, because like it's ruined. Like,
well, it's
the move. Well, Mattel is it's starting to look a little bleak for them. Like money wise, so
they're selling properties all over the place.
Yeah, so they're like really overhyping it, but it's affecting action figures that I actually want to buy, because like they did the little retros with the old Hasbro WWE figures.
Yeah.
They canceled those to switch over to, and I kid you not, WWE Masters of the Universe. So it's He-Man figures, but like Finn Balor is in the He-Man universe now as a toy.
So are these like the zombies where it's the figures and now they are taking on like the look of like the Ghostbusters ones, I should say.
No. They are like He-Man figures.
But it's Finn Balor. It's just in that style.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
It's not like Finn Balor as He-Man.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. There's like two or three I want because one's Macho Man, and I'm like, well, that fits. But like, yeah, no. And that's the only reason like I'm kind of over He-Man, and I don't even deal with it.
And
it's bleeding into my over stuff.
Mostly unrelated. Just if you guys are looking for good kung fu stuff on Netflix right now, you want something to watch on Netflix, you make use of that subscription. Wu Assassins. Pretty fantastic kung fu series on the Netflix. Really good fight scenes with some magic stuff thrown in there.
I feel
it's really
like there's a high likelihood that on the next hype train, we're going to be hearing from Trevor about this.
Trevor is a big fan. because I saw the previews for it, and I was like, I needs to watch this. And then I was talking to Trevor, and he was just like, have you watched this yet? No, it's on my list. Like, I'm going to get to that. And I finally started. It's really, really good. I should temper that. It's... if you like over-the-top, like, cheesy kung fu stuff, it's phenomenal. If you don't like that kind of stuff...
This isn't going to change your mind.
It's not going to change your mind about it. Except it's not, like, dubbed. It is English. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody's speaking English. It's not overdubbed or anything like that. So that might help you a little bit if you're a kind of person that doesn't like the super cheesy kung fu stuff.
If that's a barrier to entry for you.
Right.
Like, that's one of the things you don't like about it, then.
Because, yeah, it's set in the U.S., like, it's set in San Francisco, so it's slash L.A.
Seems like they should have probably done Iron Fist, then.
Yeah. It's also got the, it's starring the guy from The Raid and The Raid 2.
Oh, those were actually really fun movies.
They were.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to remember the guy's name. It's like Iko Uwe, I think, or something like that.
Also, I have now officially started to rewatch Daredevil Season 1.
Why are you rewatching it?
So that way I can remember what happened in Daredevil Season 1, no, and then I can go on to...
That's fair enough. I can't fault him on that one.
Yeah, because I forgot how long it's been since you watched Season
1. About 2 years.
Yeah, I know. All right, so back on this here. Disney Plus announced November 12th for Canada, so for our neighbors up north, because I know we got a few listeners there. It'll be the same day that it's coming out for us, and it'll be $8.99 Canadian dollars, as opposed to, yeah, we get a $6.99 U.S. dollars.
Yeah, but they didn't just have to drop a grand at the emergency room, so who's really laughing?
Damn it.
That one's for free, Josh.
Also, they did confirm that it will be available on pretty much everything at launch, including Xbox One, PS4. Both of them will have an app at launch. Apple will have an app. Android will have an app. It's castable to Apple TV and Chromecast. It's everything you'd want it to be on. It's there, minus the Nintendo Switch.
Which isn't surprising because the Nintendo Switch doesn't have like anything.
It has
streaming,
YouTube, right, and Hulu.
Yep. Yeah, which is, of all the things for it to have.
I can watch Letterkenny on the go and it's fine.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. Yeah. All right. So anyway, on to the next portion of our podcast brought to you by our wonderful friends at Villainous Grounds in Perryville, Missouri. Make sure you stop by there for all of your comic book needs. Yes, Dalton.
They have an espresso sundae.
Ooh.
I had it today.
Ooh.
It was really good. So, David, thank you. I suggest this doing chocolate, but it was like, get through the ice cream and then you have like, the way he said, like the bottom of the ice cream bowl, the really good part, that's just full of espresso.
Nice.
Yeah.
Sunday, like ice cream treat.
Yeah.
Definitely thought it was like a special that they were running on espressos
espresso
on Sundays. Yeah. And I was like, MF-er, it's Monday. What? Took me a second, but I got there.
Okay. Yep. We're good. We're all here now.
It was really good though. So if you go in there, I can't say the word because it's a word that I don't know how to say, but like it's like affogato or something like that. I don't know, but it's really good. The espresso sundae, it's in parentheses.
Oh.
It was tasty.
Fair enough. All right. And we actually do have quite a bit of Marvel news, and the way some of this stuff has been going, make sure you get into your local shop to get that stuff held back for you because it seems like a lot of stuff is selling out lately. A lot of weird stuff is selling out.
You think it's because they just wrapped up Phase 3?
I don't know.
Or Phase 4.
I mean, it's been like DC and Marvel. A lot of stuff has been selling out.
Oh, well.
I mean, I've noticed it more with Marvel because like my pull list is almost entirely Marvel at this point.
Fair.
But even like the White Knight stuff became really hard to find really fast.
Yeah. I just lucked out. They put it in my box because I said anything that's...
Batman?
No, Murphyverse.
No. Oh,
because
yeah.
Like as much as I didn't like the 50 Harley Quinns and the White Knight... Like, that was an intriguing book, and I want to see what else that universe has to offer.
Yeah. No, anyway. So, yeah, so make sure you guys get these held back, because there are some pretty fantastic announcements here. Going to start, though, with Marvel has announced a new Morbius series, the Morbius the Living Vampire. If you are one of the 150 Morbius fans out there, like, I'm sure that you will have this on your pull list.
You're shooting that number kind of high.
I mean, he's popular enough they're gonna or were gonna make a movie.
Yeah, it's been delayed. Like, because I actually looked that up because I was curious about it.
And so that's, is Gambit.
Yeah, that's in development limbo. Gambit's almost certainly canceled.
Mm-hmm.
That's such a bummer. Channing Tatum was going to do such a good job.
Apparently, someone high up at Disney was not impressed with New Mutants.
Yep. And then after the awful performance of Dark Phoenix, because that apparently bombed super hard.
I'm going to wait for it to come. I'm going to watch it, but I didn't want to go to the like, honestly, if it doesn't have the Marvel by Disney, like Disney stuff on it, I'm not going to the theater for it.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
It's one of the things where it's like, that movie has enough going against it that I didn't need a bad theater experience to just really, because that's one that I would probably just leave. Like, if someone was talking, I'd just be like, ah, nah.
But, like, I will say, like, that entire X-Men reboot, I was so on board. I was, like,
First Class was incredible.
Yeah, no, and, like, Days of Future was really good. I am one of the four people that liked Apocalypse.
I enjoyed Apocalypse.
Apocalypse wasn't as bad as a lot of people said it did. It just suffered because it came out around the same time as
Civil War.
Yeah, it was like a week after Civil War.
It was getting those real unfair comparisons. Maybe I need to go back and rewatch it because I remember really enjoying
it. It's really good. I watched it a couple months ago because like I loved that X-Men. Like, I really am bummed out that Disney's not going to use them.
Yeah.
More than likely because it was such a good cast.
Yeah, no, they're definitely going to recast everybody, do their own thing.
Have you seen the...
I did, yeah. Yeah. All right. So moving back here, we got a new Morbius series. Vita Ayala and Marcelo Ferreira are doing the... It's the writer and artist. It'll be out in November. Yeah, November is going to be a pretty big month for comic books. It's going to be really good.
Way more interested in a comic series than a standalone movie.
Yeah.
I probably won't get it, odds are, unless like, you know, reviews are crazy and there happens to be an extra copy. Mm. But
yeah. We've also got coming in likely November right now, it's just saying like late November or late 2019. Yondu is getting a new solo book. Lonnie Nadler and Zach Thompson are gonna be writing it, and then John McCree doing the art. It's going to be a street-level space book within the Cosmic Marvel Universe. And apparently, like, normally this is where I would throw in the disclaimer. Like, if you really, really liked Yondu in the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, I just
proceed
don't...
Proceed with caution?
Yeah, proceed with caution. Because Yondu, the character in comic books, historically has been very different from the character you've enjoyed in the Guardians of the Galaxy movies. But they did do a significant amount of rebranding, apparently, the last time he appeared in comics, based on Guardians of the Galaxy, the films. And, yeah, I don't know, right? And this one is going to be a lot more heavily based on, they even changed up his look where he looks almost exactly like he does in the MCU.
Hmm.
A little bit grittier. But, yeah, like, reading the stuff about this, I might actually pick up the number one, because this sounds kind of neat. Especially if, because they used... the words like he's like a blank slate. There's not much about him in the Marvel lore, and it's like there is, but I'm fine with you ignoring it,
right?
Because it ain't great.
Like most of the characters they've done in the MCU, they're like, yeah, Iron Man's always been a pretty good guy with a heart of gold. Don't look into the Golden Age. Whatever you do,
or silver,
they're starting or modern. So
don't look into Hank Pym. Ever.
Ooh, no.
Tony, they're kind of starting to... Their Slot is acknowledging a little bit more of his demons in the current run. At least for what I'm at in Marvel Unlimited, because I'm 6 months behind, but I just read the newest episode, or newest issue that got added to Unlimited the other day. And it ends on a pretty significant, like, oh, I wonder how they're going to play this moment.
Yeah, I've heard that like Dan Slott's actually been doing pretty well on there. Like Fantastic Four hadn't been doing great, but Iron Man is doing reasonably well.
It's weird.
I've read like the first six issues. It's not horrible. I don't know why I'm collecting Fantastic Four, by the way.
Are you?
Yeah. It's like one of the four on my pull list. Yeah. I don't know why. I buy it, and I don't question them. I'm like, I'll put it on my Power Rangers, Nightwing, and Fantastic Four.
Huh.
They canceled the WWE books. I don't know what you want me to say.
Did you see they're changing up Tim Drake's outfit?
No, what are they changing it to?
It is now brown, yellow, and black. Mostly brown with like yellow highlights and a little bit of black.
I don't hate that.
I have it doesn't look great, but they're very much like I feel like DC just absolutely wants you to forget that he was ever associated with Batman. He was never a Robin.
Which is really bad in Rebirth.
He was never a Robin.
Which is really bad in Rebirth. I understand New 52, but Rebirth in Detective Comics, because some a-hole made me read that arc, and I cried.
That was a...
At work.
That was a devastating arc.
That was. Which is like, I don't know why they would try to distance themselves now.
All right, well, while I'm talking about this next bit of news, Google that new outfit, because the internet ain't happy about it, and I understand why.
Okay.
They done Tim a little dirty. While they're looking that up, Scream, one of the symbiote offshoots, is getting her own ongoing. We don't know who's going to be bonded with the symbiote in it, but in November, it's going to be Scream Curse of Carnage, with Clay McLeod Chapman writing and Chris Mooneyham doing the artwork. And like I said, there'll be a new ongoing in November. Asa has looked up the costume.
I don't know what you typed in to find it.
It looks like old school yellow and brown Wolverine and Red Hood had a clothes swap.
See, I actually...
And then they took worst of both worlds.
The first time I saw it, I was like... Go. They put the owl in Young Justice?
I like it.
Because I thought the owl from Watchmen.
It
slightly updated.
I like the color scheme fine. I just hate the way that like the outfit itself because
the outfit itself looks real dumb.
What book was that so I can see it on my
Young Justice number 10.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's how they unveiled it. It was in the solicitations. It's the cover for Young Justice 10.
Yeah, so
check out Tim's new outfit.
So I'm looking at the cover and yeah, it's I hate it. I like the color scheme is fine. I don't mind brown and yellow like at all. And it's just the weird body armor knockoff looking. It looks like Nightwing and Red Hood just without the jacket, like but all of the worst parts of those.
Yeah, especially like the shoulders look super weird. Like I don't completely get what they were going for.
Yeah, the chest plate. There's nothing truly defining about that. That looks like every generic villain in an MCU movie.
Yeah. No, that's fair.
That's fair, yeah.
And it's one of those things that somebody made a joke, at least I hope it was a joke, that he's going to start going by Sparrow now.
That would be good.
Because like, I could see it.
Yeah.
And like I said, it was framed as a joke, and it's one of those things that, like, boy, I hope it's a joke. Because I get, like, obviously you're not going to be running around in a suit like that going by Red Robin.
Yum. Is that what you wanted me to go for? you left the cadence for me. I'm sorry.
Red Robin. you're welcome, Red Robin.
It's not. Yeah, that's a free one. I don't hate it. Like, it's one of those things, like, I don't
hate the color scheme, but yeah. The outfit looks a little silly.
But it's also super important to note that, like, him as Robin doesn't mean anything to me.
Tim's my favorite Robin.
Well, I'm sorry that you're wrong. Like, Damian or Dick, like, those are your two.
Oh.
But I also really like Grant Morrison, so there it is.
I mean, like, I'll take Rick Grayson.
Oh, you can eat a Nightwing, sir. And you know what I mean.
At least they're using him.
They're not burying him like they do on WWE.
I think Nightwing is the best Robin, just because I think his dynamic with Bruce is the best. That said, Tim Drake is... I take that back. Nightwing is my favorite Robin, but I think Tim Drake is the best Robin.
Yeah.
Just because of he was the one that found out Bruce Wayne was Batman.
Yep. Mm.
He is the one that was like he put the detective back into the world's greatest detective stories. And that's my favorite version of Batman as well, is when it is like a hard boiled actual, he is like problem solving, critical thinking, like detective stories.
Agreed.
Don't get me wrong, I love it when he is the one saving the planet and stuff like that, but like that's my favorite version. Like those are my favorite Batman stories. Like that's why I love Hush so much.
Yeah, Batman because solving murders and crime and like actually going through mysteries is...
and Tim Drake gave him a run for his money in that regard, so that's why I think he's the best Robin.
Speaking of Hush, I think that hit DC Universe to like this week.
Oh, the animated?
The movie, yeah. Because I think it did so poor, they're just like, let's just put it on the app and say that it didn't happen.
Still need to see the Batman Turtles movie. I keep hoping to add it to DC really Universe. Good. But
I like right. it.
Anyway, back on topic here.
Scream, and not the good version, MTV.
Ooh.
No, I mean, that symbiote's really cool looking. I have the legend yep. of it.
And is that the yellow one with yep. like the dreads? Yeah.
Yeah. And we don't know who's going to be bonded with her. They're apparently making that a little bit of a mystery. So
do you want, is there someone that, do you want it to be an existing character, or do you kind of hope that this is their way to introduce someone new?
There's a lot of characters that it would be really cool to see as Scream, but I'm hoping for it to be someone new.
So Eddie Brock or Flash Thompson, like, that's Venom.
Yes.
Cletus Cassidy, that's Carnage.
Right.
Who is Scream? Like, does Scream have, like, an established person?
Did, yeah. I don't remember her name, though. Donna something.
I'm literally on Google right now.
Which, I mean, it's not, like, a huge deal. I just didn't know if there was, like, an... Like, are people going to
Donna
be...
Donna Diego.
Like, are people going to be upset that it's no longer Donna, or...
I don't think so. Also, I'm half impressed with myself remembering that, and like half upset because like why is that the stuff that's in my brain? It's a real deep hole. Donna Diego. I don't know. Like seeing Cindy Moon coming back into the canon, like as and her as Scream would be really interesting.
I don't know who that is.
Silk.
Oh.
I know you hate her,
sir. Now she has her own symbiote too. Fan fiction
shenanigans.
White hot room.
Just ignore the origin. She was a cool character outside of that ridiculous erotic fan fiction.
Do her and Peter just want to clap like every time they see each other now, or has that been fixed?
That hasn't happened in a while. So like, she hasn't appeared in anything in a while. Other than I think she's in the new Asgardians. I think I saw.
No, I'm just annoyed. I'm sorry.
So I was at a toy store and I found the Space Venom like build a figure that I could ever find that way for. Mm-hmm. It was $60. I almost bought it. Behind the counter, they had Silk with its Build-A-Figure piece of Space Venom. $70. I am on your side about hating Silk. Because like, I just wanted it for my shelf. But that's like the most expensive figure right now to find. It can eat a Nightwing. There it is. That's going to be my new phrase for a while.
He'll forget by next week.
Probably.
Don't remind him, Cody.
Yeah.
Cody?
Trevor?
Don't do it.
Trevor?
So anyway, no, there's a few other people that I wouldn't mind seeing. Like, I'd like to see Anne Brock return, or Anne something or other. She was a, like, she had the Venom symbiote for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see her, like, she could make a comeback. There's another Mayday Parker, I think, is her name.
Wasn't that Elseworld?
Yeah, she's
Spider-Girl?
Yeah, she's Spider-Girl that became a like she had a symbiote. I think
I only
Spidey
remember
lore is deep.
Yeah,
guys.
I only remember
there's a lot.
And there's a million Spider-Verses that they've introduced.
Yeah, between like Spider-Geddon and Spider-Verse, like there are so many now.
Yeah.
And a lot of them have gotten neat spinoffs. But either way, it would be cool to see her come back as a symbiote. And I think there's an active female Venom in the MCU right now, but she's only appeared.
Not the MCU.
Not the MCU. Sorry. In like Earth 616, the main Marvel universe.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's an active like spider or Venom girl or whatever you want to call her. That has
female symbiote.
Yeah, female symbiote. Like, but she doesn't have she's not appearing in anything. She showed up in Spider-Geddon, I think. Regardless, like it would be cool to see a few other people as Scream, but it's almost certainly not going to be Donna Diego because I don't even think she's alive anymore. She might be,
or maybe she's back and Scream brought her back, and because
I
haven't
read
comics.
I haven't read any of Absolute Carnage or any of Venom leading up to it, so that'll probably be my next thing on Marvel Unlimited that I'm gonna try to go through, like start getting caught up. Because apparently Donny Cates' run on Venom has been just
crazy.
Yeah, crazy, insanely good.
Mm-hmm. I got through the first 5 issues of All New Wolverine. I'm a fan.
It's real good,
I
right?
I like it a lot.
I was going to say, I don't like how he said I got through.
Oh, that's
like it
how
was
I
a struggle.
Yeah, no, I just do that all the time. Sorry.
Because Gabby is the most precious thing.
Yeah, you're not wrong. You're a little bit. I love it.
I would die for her.
You wouldn't have to. She would
but
take
I
care
would.
Of it.
If the option were presented, if it was required, it would happen. Yeah, no, pure soul. Guys, I cannot I cannot recommend it enough. All new Wolverine. Tom Taylor did a Wolverine run with Laura Kinney as Wolverine, and it's some of the best comic books I've ever read in my life.
It is amazing.
It's so good.
It's pretty solid. Yeah,
you needs to go out there and find it and read it. Anyway, Marvel's also teased a new superhero team, Doc Justice and the J Team. We know nothing about it. The teaser was in a chart of like, in this year, the Avengers, this year was the Defenders, this year was the Thunderbolts, and then now your next big team, Doc Justice and the J Team, in 2019. And I'm sitting there like, there's a lot of teams that I would have put above the Thunderbolts, but you do you, Marvel. Which leads me to believe that it might be like somewhat related to Thunderbolts somehow, but I don't know. We literally know nothing else. It was very much a teaser.
When is it supposed to be?
Shrug emoji.
Okay.
Yeah, we got nothing on it. Like, I'm sure they're gonna. It's,
sure,
it's
this
Marvel
wasn't like
within
a prank solicitation. Like,
that would be really funny. I mean, it was on Marvel's official Twitter. But yeah, no, I'm sure it's Marvel. Within the next week, we'll hear more. But yeah, they want to build up some hype, and I'm doing my best to build up that hype around it. We also got Deadpool is getting relaunched in November. Kelly Thompson and Chris Pachalo are going to be working on the book. It will be relaunched as a number one. I'm not sure. I have not kept up with Deadpool at all after the last bit of, like, you know, he lost his memory, and I haven't heard anything about Deadpool since.
Back in Black was pretty awesome, but that was also like 3 years ago.
It was 3 years ago, and on top of that, it was a story set back in like
the '80s. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only time I care about Deadpool is whenever it's a stupid story. Well, that's most of them, but
right. But yeah, no, I know his ongoing, like, you know, he had the big, like, what was it, issue 300 something? Had the like, he lost his memory of all the things that he had done, and he was starting fresh on something. Yes, Asa?
We need to go back. New details on Marvel's mysterious new super team, Doc Justice and the J-Team, have been revealed in a Twitter video with executive editor Nick Lowe. According to Lowe, Doc Justice, whose identity appears to be a central mystery to the story, will lead a motley crew of teen superheroes who are coming onto the scene to save the innocent and bring down evil. The J-Team is gonna change part of the Marvel Universe forever, Lowe continues. I know we say that a lot, but it's true. Not much is known about the man behind the mask, Lowe explains, referring to Doc Justice himself, but Doc Justice and the J-Team are joining the Marvel tapestry of incredible characters to bring a new type of comic book to you, the Marvel readers.
Huh. So we still got a whole lot of nothing out of that.
It's a lot of nothing, but...
sounds like we have an existing characters, Doc Justice, and then a bunch of brand new characters for his team.
Who are coming onto the scene, and they're going to change part of the Marvel Universe forever.
For real this time.
I mean, like, in
but
fairness,
we mean it.
When they say that it changes a lot of the Marvel Universe, a lot of times that's true. If somebody's coming back to life is usually how they mean that.
But do we need Doc Justice to be the one to do that?
No. No, we don't. All right, so, yeah, moving on from that, though. Oh, God, I lost my place. Okay, DC. We got a little bit of DC news here. They have announced a He-Man and the Masters of the Universe book. That'll be a 6-issue miniseries coming in November with Tim Seeley and Dan Fraga writing and Richard Friend doing the art. Dalton, please, grow up. It's Rick Friend.
Did you just save that joke because you knew I was going to giggle at that?
No, I just thought...
You just called that one on the fly.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, that was good. I like that.
You're welcome. Yeah.
That's a good name. Richard Friend.
Not the most unfortunate person with the last name.
No, his last name could have been Lips. That one would have been bad.
I mean, but I never mind. Never mind. It's not important.
You going to tell me after the show?
Yeah, I'll tell you after the show. Just remind me. And if you want to know, just email me at at podzilla1985.com.
What's his name again at podzilla1985.com?
All right. This next portion of the podcast is brought to you by Press Start to Join. It's a pretty fantastic podcast. You can find all their content at ps2jshow.com, including their social media links and all their past episodes. Nintendo seems to be working on a Super Nintendo wireless controller, similar to the NES controllers that came out a while back, looking like it's going to be dockable and rechargeable and everything. The big implication there is they might start adding Super Nintendo games to the
please
the online retro collection that you get.
Please. There is literally zero reason that they're not already on there.
Correct. I'm confused why they're not. The SNES Mini, they're not manufacturing them anymore, so it's not like they need to sell those.
Like, unless they're trying to, like, avoid backlash for the virtual console, because people will then have, like, especially if you make it just part of the online and you don't make them rebuy things, like, with the Wii and the Wii U and the 3DS and the DS probably, like... They're like, oh, you've already paid for it four times, but here's a fifth. And we'll do it, though, because we're monsters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let me play Donkey Kong Country on my Switch.
And you'll give them your money.
Yeah.
Like, that's just how it works.
But just wrap it in part of this BS online system that you got.
Yeah, no, that would be great. That would be great if we could start. Because even the NES, like, the NES collection on there, like, surprisingly, like, nice feature.
It's grown since they've launched it.
Yes.
Pretty considerably. So, I mean, it's solid. I never really use it just because there's not a lot of those games that I really want to go back to. But if it was Super Nintendo, oh my lord.
There's a lot of those games.
And
granted, like, I have my SNES Mini. That's not as portable.
Yeah, no, like, it's really not.
Because it was kind of nice. Like, I was just hanging out here on the couch. I wanted something to play. This is a couple months ago, I think, now. I didn't want to, like, load up any actual games on my Switch or anything. So I looked through that NES thing for the first time. I was like, oh, I got Kirby and Dream Land. Knocked that out for a little while. It's a fun game. That's kind of cool. That's something that could be coming up. Pokemon Sword and Shield, we got a little bit more news there. Apparently it's going to have ranked play, including a ladder, and it'll have seasonal play. I feel like at this point they just don't know who they're trying to market this towards anymore.
No, I mean, the competitive Pokemon scene is very much there.
It is. But, like, with this game, a lot of the features that they've done, a lot of the decisions that they've made are not targeted towards, like, veteran players.
I think it is, though. I think that's kind of the reason, because there's been a bunch of memes that I don't understand, but a lot of people in the Pokemon subreddit seem to get, of, like, Galarian Weezing has that neutralized gas ability that completely removes all other abilities from play. And so it's like, oh, that means that Slaking is going to be super crazy because he has an ability that he's so powerful, he can only attack every other turn. But now if that ability's gone and he can attack every turn, he's going to be messing people up. Guess who's probably not going to be in the Sword Shield Pokedex? Because they're doing it for balancing reasons.
Yeah, I could see that.
So I think it actually is more for the hardcore competitive side, but those people are going to be mad because they can't get those cheese strats and like whatever, you know, because look at the Pokemon World Tournaments, it's always the same teams.
Yeah.
And there's always that one random like level 2 Bidoof that can, you know, wipe the Elite Four. You have things like, you know, because the way people build their teams like that.
Because I've seen like the deal where they go through and they just use a bunch of the like the area of effect, like, you know, constant effect things.
Yeah.
I remember I was watching one where somebody went in with like a team of six level 10s, and they just wiped the Elite Four out, and their Pokemon were all level 40 by the time they left it.
Yeah.
Which is just like, what?
Why?
Stupid.
Who puts this amount of time into?
Y'all's crazy.
Yeah.
Try Borderlands.
Oh, that mid-max is going to be crazy. Any looter shooter? No. They will never leave the house and they will die of dehydration.
Mm-hmm.
That makes Pokemon easier for me. I know what I'm doing.
It's same thing as like the raid battles, where this is not a feature that I will touch, but there's an audience for it, and I'm glad for that at least. It's just I need to get over the excuse me. Make every bit of content tailored to my exact requests.
You know, it's one of those things, like, I like that they're adding this feature because I know there's a lot of people that will be really happy about it. I just know that almost every one of those people that are really happy about it are really upset with a lot of the other decisions that they've made.
But this is probably going to be enough to, you know...
Reel them back in.
Put the pacifier in their mouth and like, all right. Still mad.
I guess. Like that little meme there. But anyway, we also got a couple of huge acquisitions that came up. The smaller of the two, definitely THQ Nordic has acquired Gunfire Games. Those are the guys that do Darksiders. so that I mean, I know THQ already publishes that game, but at this point, like, Gunfire Games is officially under that THQ Nordic umbrella.
I'm still super excited for that Genesis, Darksiders Genesis. We got more footage of that today at Gamescom too. It just looks so cool.
Yep. Could be really, really neat. Because that's the dungeon crawler one, right?
Yeah, that's the Diablo looking clone, super pretty too.
Yeah, no, I'm for it. I'm here for it. And then the huge one, Sony has officially acquired Insomniac Games,
which not super surprising.
Because I mean, a lot of Insomniac's games have been Sony exclusives.
Mm-hmm.
Like they have done Sunset Overdrive is the only one I can think of recently that's not.
That was the Xbox exclusive.
Yes,
the Xbox One exclusive that just didn't perform super well. But that was also because there wasn't a huge install base because. The Xbox One didn't do great.
Because it was a launch title for the Xbox One and the Xbox One.
But it is an underappreciated gem on the Xbox One.
Yeah, Sunset Overdrive is super fun. Like it, and the story is really quirky. Like I remember when they announced that one, I was really sure that I was going to end up picking it up because it looked so fun.
I also distinctly remember when it was announced that Insomniac was working on a Spider-Man game. The qualifier for that was it's the team who did Sunset Overdrive.
Yeah.
So remember how fun it was to just move in that world? They're doing Spider-Man now.
Yeah.
And that was like a huge, like, that was just not only, oh, we're getting a Spider-Man game, but...
Insomniac's doing it. Because that's one of those things, like, they knocked it out of the park. Like, we could not stop ranting and raving about the web-swinging system and the movement system in general in Spider-Man. So Insomniac Games, though, like, that now, like, that quality of game is going to be on Sony from now on.
Yep.
Which, like...
So just, you should be already done with the sequel. Give it to me. Give it to me now.
Give me that Spidey too.
You think right now Microsoft's knocking on Rare's door just being like, hey guys, you got something? You got something rare?
Pump out a Conker.
Microsoft's doing good. Like, they're making a lot of very interesting moves. I don't think that they are at all concerned about any of this news.
Really? No.
Yeah, like, they're doing a lot of weird, like, they're trying to change the actual game. Because, like, one of the things that got announced at Gamescom is, like, Gears 5 is going to be on Steam.
Because Microsoft crazy. Talked about doing a lot of partnering with Steam. Because, like, hey, the Master Chief Collection is going to be on Steam.
Yeah. Ori and the Blind Forest got announced for Nintendo Switch. So, it's Microsoft's doing their own thing.
Good for them.
And they're, yeah, no.
And like, I'm happy for it, because they're going, like... They are going suspiciously consumer friendly.
Uh-oh. Like, there's a new system coming up, guys.
I'm waiting for like Phil Spencer or Major Nelson to like get arrested or something. Because like they're building all the goodwill.
Yeah. And I feel like a lot of that really will be like it's going to do another flip-flop from... we've talked about it numerous times before. Like, you had all of the goodwill coming from, Xbox 360 and PS3, like, in that era.
Yeah.
PS3 was, like, ultra consumer-friendly by the end of its lifespan.
Mm-hmm.
And Xbox 360 was still, you know, the king of that generation. Then you had, the Xbox One. They gave all of their announcements. It went super poorly for really obvious reasons. Sony was like, all right, cool, noted. And on their stage the next day, like, all they kept talking, like, their entire conference that next day,
we're not doing that,
was like, you know that thing that they did, we're not doing that,
we're doing the opposite.
Applause. Yeah, exactly.
Somebody was on in the back at Sony's like, kill the switch. tell them the opposite, we'll figure it out.
We'll get it done by launch. Because like they ended up.
I remember that E3. Yeah, it was pretty great.
Dominated that launch. Yep.
And like and that the entire console generation.
Yeah,
not even close.
Xbox finally started catching up. Like at this point, like Sony is still way far ahead, but like, you know, Xbox has built up a whole lot of goodwill. A lot of people are buying consoles. It's the same thing with the Xbox 360. I don't think a PS3 ever. Like touched those sales, but I think a lot of people had them.
I think it ended up actually like selling more consoles than the 360, just because it ended up being like the cheapest Blu-ray player.
Oh yeah,
like, so, it had a so really quick
the,
yeah.
By the end of the console life cycle, it had passed, but it
at
was
at that point
such,
the Xbox One and the PS4 were out.
Maybe not out, but yeah, it was one of those things where it's like, but all of the conversation was with the 360 because of Xbox Live. Because that also was a huge driving force, because Xbox Live just as a just as a architecture was so much stronger than PlayStation Plus.
Yeah, and well, plus with a PlayStation 3, you didn't have to pay to play online.
Yeah.
Because it was free, but yeah, I still definitely believe it was a you get what you pay for situation.
Oh yeah,
like obviously they beefed up PlayStation Plus became virtually identical to Xbox Live in you know the current generation,
right. But also Halo 3.
Yeah, Halo 2. All right, so anyway, we also got a little bit of out of Gamescom. The only thing that I really looked up because I'm bad at my job and this happened. You know, in the late afternoon, finished like right before, like a very shortly before we started, before we got here anyway.
No.
All the Gamescom stuff?
No, baby.
It finished at like 4.
No, it was still, like, it ended at like 3. Like the actual live one ended around, because I was at lunch. I watched the first hour. So yeah, it ended around like just before 3, I think.
I literally just read something that it was going till 4.
I mean, there might be more stuff that's going, but like the big showcases.
Regardless, it's not important. The point is, I did all of my write-ups this morning, and I thought Gamescom was tomorrow. So,
Ruh-oh, Raggy.
So yeah, the only thing that I really got to look up out of Gamescom was some of the Gears 5 stuff and some of the Borderlands 3 stuff. And I didn't even look into all of the Borderlands 3 stuff, but I got to see Circle of Slaughter. It's going to be their in-game horde mode stuff. And then, yeah, I got to see with Gears 5 a little bit of that, including the they gave a little bit more information on the system they're releasing, as well as the keyboard and the mouse and keyboard they're doing for PC, Razer, both making them. Let's see. And then we got Asa. Go ahead and hit up Stadia while I'm looking into some other stuff.
All right, you got 30 seconds.
So, dear Lord, this Stadia Connect was an absolute waste of time. It was such garbage. It was nothing but a list of games that are already out or that have already been announced of just like, oh, hey, so this game's going to be coming to Stadia, which is cool, and I get that they need to do that, but like a conference at Gamescom, especially the first year that Jeff Keighley's really like sinking his teeth into like what the opening night one stuff was, This was a huge miss. We didn't get a release date. We didn't get even a look at the UI, which the AMA, they said that they weren't going to show that until launch anyway. Like this was literally just a series of trailers and then some devs talking about the game of stuff that we've already seen. Like Borderlands 3 is coming to Stadia. Cool. It's coming 2 months after it comes out. Like it's coming 2 months later and you're showing us the Happy Together trailer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
Like, and it was that kind of stuff of like, yeah, I mean, there might have been some Watchdog Legion, because that was the big end. Like, that was what they ended on. It went like 30 minutes, and it was just like, okay, thanks. It's like, really? That's it?
So, yeah, like, I guess the entire point of it, like, from my understanding here is marketing. Like, look, we're going to have AAA titles. And it's happening.
And that's pretty much all it was. Is just like, oh, you know, Mortal Kombat 11 is going to be on Stadia. And it's like, all right, well, that game is 2 months old at this point. And like a bunch of these games that are already either going to be out or like, they started with Cyberpunk. Cyberpunk will be available on Stadia, which is cool. Like, I get that that's a big deal. Like, that's, yeah, you know, arguably one of the biggest game releases of next year. But I was so disappointed. I was hoping we were going to get more. We did get one Stadia exclusive announcement.
What was it?
Orcs Must Die 3.
I didn't play 1 or 2.
Apparently, it's tower defense, isn't it?
Kind of, yeah, but it's also, it's going to be third person, like, action-y.
Yeah, because I think,
it looked, I genuinely, until they talked about it, or until they named it, I genuinely thought it was, let me see on the list of the Nintendo indie ones, Dungeons Defenders Awakened, because it looked real similar to that, which was very, tower defense-y, kind of cartoony.
So, yeah, I say tower defense. It's like a horde mode kind of game.
Yeah.
Where like you can set up traps and turrets and stuff like that, but you're also down there actually doing the fighting yourself.
Right.
Which I think I played Orcs Must Die 1 or 2 because it was one of those, like, I used to be one of those people at Steam sales that, like, you know, a game drops to $3, like, yeah, okay,
I must own this. Like, for no reason.
It's $3. And, you know, like 50 games later, I'm like, man, I've got a lot of games and I got them for all under $5 each. Y'all can do the math.
You could have bought 4 really good games that you wanted to play.
I could have. Instead, I bought 50 that I haven't played.
It's also, funny how money works sometimes.
Were you going to go back to talk about Gears or Borderlands?
A little bit. I was actually going to...
Because I know more information on that.
I got a website pulled up. I was going to pull through a little bit of stuff. So we got the Nintendo Indie World Showcase. A whole bunch of games come out of that with a bunch of information. But some of the bigger titles, we got Risk of Rain 2, Eastward, Super Hot, The Tourist, and the Hotline Miami Collection. Also, they announced the Ori and the Blind Forest. Asa mentioned that a minute ago. Is coming over to Switch. Let's see, we got from Inside Xbox.
Also,
this is just a
real quick worth noting the Hotline Miami Collection and I believe Super Hot are both available today. So those like shadow dropped. Also, Hotline Miami is fantastic. Go out of your way to watch this one. It's like 23 minutes long, but there's a lot of really cool stuff in it. Super into the Risk of Rain 2. It looks kind of like a roguelike, potentially, because it showed like attempt number, but then like it was showing you each item you pick up does something different, and it looks like there could be multiplayer aspects to it. I'd never heard of it. I don't know this franchise, but the trailer itself was like enough to make me really, really curious.
Well, that sounds really
also for Allie, Cat Quest 2.
And
got announced.
I mean, Allie would probably enjoy this game too. A Hat in Time is getting ported to Switch with DLC, so you'll be able to pick that up. I believe it's September is when that one's coming out. Which that one just like I've always heard great things about it. It looks adorable, and it's a 3D platformer. And I've always been a big fan of 3D platformers. So
also Munchkin Quacked Quest.
Jesus Christ!
I heard about that one too. I need to watch the entire video.
Yeah.
But anyway, Microsoft also got a bunch of stuff going on with, let's see, we got to see a little bit more of the PvP mode and Ghost War from Ghost Recon Breakpoint. Metro Exodus, the Two Colonels DLC will actually be out tomorrow. We got the Blair Witch Insanity Story trailer and its arrival on Game Pass is going to be out August 30th on Game Pass. We got the
That means we'll have access to it, Dalton, for free.
Maybe make that a Halloween stream that like with old Dalton here.
Sounds like that's not gonna happen. I acted excited to realize that ain't gonna be a thing
until you realize what we were talking about, what we're implying.
We got a release trailer for the free-to-play looter shooter Vigor, which I need to look into because, I mean, everybody I think knows my feelings on looter shooters.
You hate them, right?
Well, it's that
can't stand them.
The free-to-play part is what
that's always scary.
Is gonna be can be itchy.
Because sometimes you get free to play and it's Warframe. Sometimes you get free to play and it's
not Warframe.
Yeah, I can't think of
any mobile game.
Yeah, pretty much any mobile game ever. Yeah, Warframe is really the only looter shooter that's free to play that I can think of that is actually worth playing. Until Destiny goes free to play, that'll be a solid looter shooter for free. Obviously, you have to spend money to do the later content, but you can play quite a bit for free. Anyway,
I mean, as cheap as it is now, you're basically playing it for free.
GameStop had it on sale new for like $3, and used was $6.
For
Destiny 2 for the base game.
Yeah, because October 1st, it's that base game is worthless.
Yep,
less than worthless. The free to play has more content than the base game.
Wow.
The base game doesn't come with the first three DLC packs.
JFC
answering Dalton's crazy face. The base, like there's three, the free to play version Destiny New Light will come with the base game plus the first three DLC packs.
Okay,
the base game obviously does not come with those DLC packs. October 1st, the free to play version.
What in the actual bleep? That's an oversight. That should just be patched in.
No, that's GameStop desperately trying to clear out inventory before that happens.
No, that's not. This might be.
Oh, I see what you're saying. If people pay for it, they should get that.
Yeah, it should just be like if I have the physical disc, that's a patch. Just patch that in for me.
Don't make
me then just download it. Like,
or get the Stadia Founders Edition. You ain't got to download nothing.
I mean, that's also
true. No, it sounds like $3 and just hoping for a patch would be substantially cheaper. Actually, get the game for $3, have it already downloaded, and then wait for October 1st. That way you just have to download the DLC.
I mean, you'll still have to download a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah, because I think it's a new mode. Like, it's New Light is what it's called.
Yeah, it's New Light. They're changing up the way, like, characters even work. So, like, you create a character, and you spawn in the Cosmodrome instead of, like, going through the
Intro.
Yeah, the actual intro, which is basically showing like what happened at the end of Destiny 1.
What? Wait a minute. What? when does the game become free to play?
October 1st.
Oh, Borderlands 3 will already be out. I don't need to worry about it.
That's when Shadowkeep comes out. Is that also when it goes free to play? Okay.
Yep, same day. They all got pushed to October 1st.
Because that's what they were talking. Because it was kind of cool at this one. Bungie was on the Inside Xbox stage for the first time forever. And just,
because they've been hard on with Sony since they left, since they stopped doing Halo.
Yeah, so that was kind of a neat moment. But that was one of the things that they talked about was they really hit hard the Shadowkeep DLC. I didn't hear him, which I didn't. I was working, so I didn't get to hear all of it. And it's Destiny 2. It's a billion years old at this point, and I don't understand anything that they're talking about.
Because they the game is unrecognizable from launch.
Yeah.
And I was Destiny super fan. Mm-hmm. I was riding that for the entirety of Destiny 1 and into Destiny 2.
Yeah.
I'm kind of excited to
get back into it.
Same.
It's just I'm terrified that I'm going to be overwhelmed by.
I'm sure it'll be fine once I get into it. Reading it doesn't make much sense, but that's true for a lot of things. Once you get into it, you're like, oh,
get
that's
your hands
what they
on
mean.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, we also got a release trailer for. Oh, sorry, no, I just read that one. PUBG, PS4, and Xbox One crossplay was announced on the Inside Xbox. We also got the first look at the Horde mode in Gears 5 and Gears Pop. We got Horde mode in Gears 5, and then we got the gameplay for Gears Pop.
Also, just because I don't know if they were going out of order, but Surge 2 got a pretty detailed trailer and behind-the-scenes talk with the devs. Seems interesting.
Yeah, that one's not actually on this one, on this list that I'm reading here. We did get a couple of new Xbox One controllers, a gray camo one, and another one called Sport Blue. That was another thing that they talked about there. Asa went over the Google Stadia thing here.
Also, just other Gears 5. It will launch on Game Pass Ultimate on September 6th. And on September 10th, it will be on the Microsoft Store and Steam.
There you go.
Okay.
So I haven't pre-ordered it, but I'm going to get that early access because I have an Ultimate account. I have Ultimate Pass. And I hate that I'm actually kind of excited for this game. I've never gotten into Gears series before. And this just looks super cool.
It's a real bummer that it's coming out a few days before Borderlands 3.
So we can knock out some Horde mode. I'll do a little bit of Horde mode. I like Horde mode. That's really all I want to do.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, we can knock that out for a couple of days and then, just go ham on. Because
it'll be free.
It will be free.
I need to switch to Ultimate.
Yeah, I actually have a 3-month code for Ultimate. That I haven't used yet. I bought it when it was super cheap, and I plan on redeeming it when I want to use when I need access to Game Pass, because right now I don't actually have Game Pass going.
Mm-hmm.
But we also got a whole bunch of games shown during the opening night live, including Gears 5, Modern Warfare, Death Stranding, Destiny 2 Shadowkeep, Need for Speed Heat, Comanche, Little Nightmares 2, Predator Hunting Grounds. And then we got a bunch of other stuff from, there's a whole massive
This was a 2-hour presentation.
Yeah.
Or a 2-hour conference, I should say. A lot of really cool stuff that came out of it. I really, really liked where did it go? It's gone. It was one of the early things too. It started with more Gears 5 stuff, which, it just looked cool. Comanche, they're doing a helicopter game.
Yeah.
Neat, I guess. That's really weird, though. But it's THQ Nordic, who I'm just convinced is a money laundering scheme at this point, because they're putting out everything. Need for Speed Heat actually looked really cool. This was actually what I was going to talk about. So the app is available now, the Need for Speed Studio. So you can design your car now and have it ready to go when the game comes out.
That's pretty dope.
Yeah, that's super cool. It seems like it's kind of a cross between, Most Wanted and Underground. Because the cops are part of the world, but there, there's collectibles and.
Because, I'll be honest with those old racing games, Gran Turismo 2 and Need for Speed Most Wanted, the 2012 edition, were probably the two racing games that I've put the most time into, and most of that was me racing so that I could buy upgrades for my car and deck it out and customize it.
Underground 2 and Midnight Club. 2 or 3, whichever.
Underground, Midnight Club 3 Dub Edition.
Dub Edition.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. So I heard the Dub Edition had some pretty crazy customization.
This trailer kind of gave me feelings going back to that, because I also like those really arcadey styles. That's why I'm not super into the Forza series or Gran Turismo. I never got into those.
Forza Horizon more.
Forza Horizon's a blast.
See, and I downloaded that one, and I couldn't get into it. because it was on Game Pass. Yeah, maybe I need to go, or maybe I just did like, maybe I just did the right base Forza and I didn't give Horizon a shot. Maybe
I know
do
Forza
that.
4 was on there, and yeah, it's definitely like those are definitely the racing sims. But mm-hmm. yeah, the Forza Horizon series is more of the
Horizon
the arcade slash. Like, you're just driving around on streets and stuff like that.
Yeah, so 4 is the most recent Horizon. Mm-hmm. 4 is, like, up to 8 or 9, like the regular base series.
Okay.
So if you find Horizon...
can't be true.
No, it's past 7.
I'm looking that up.
All right, no problem.
I will say, too, some of the other stuff that they showed, like, it's not for me, but I really like the presentation of it. The Kerbal Space Program 2 trailer was kind of hilarious and looks really cool. A lot of people really excited about that one. Little Nightmares 2... I didn't play the first one, but this made me want to play the first one because it was a really, really well done, really, really creepy trailer.
Okay.
Also, Forza 7 is the most recent one.
I was only off by one.
I just like
Forza 6 was like the game for gold like a year ago. So that's the only reason
I was just
do
sitting
that.
There thinking like, there is no way that they're up to Forza 9.
Well, I said 8 or 9, in fairness to me. Forza 8's not that super far off the beaten path because they're on 7.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's
I'm a Madden fan, remember?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I haven't been a Madden fan in like 8 years.
Disintegration looked really cool. Just moving on through
the actual
stuff.
Fair. That's good. That's a good plan.
Like, if I had to point out some things that I think, like, people should look up, that would be one of them. We got another trailer for the Darksiders Genesis, which is that game Jesse and I were talking about earlier. It's the Diablo-style gameplay set in the Darksiders universe. Jeff actually interviewed someone from Borderlands 3 talking about the endgame content. That was really cool. So that's where he mentioned the Circle of Slaughter, which is going to be kind of the hard mode. But they also talked about the Proving Grounds, which are going to be potentially endgame, potentially like you could actually do it while you're in the game, as well, like while you're playing the game. But you're actually meeting the aliens from like the Iridium. I can't remember what it's called.
Oh, cool.
But you're meeting them, and they will actually
give you... I think
they're
just called Iridites, aren't they?
Maybe, or I'm not sure.
Something like that.
Because IGN posted a video that they have done with... they did another interview with one of the developers, and he kind of goes a little bit more into detail with it. But essentially what it is it's these little... Probably takes about 20 to 30 minutes. There's a 30-minute limit, I think, but it's not supposed to be, can I clear it in 30 minutes? It's how quickly can I clear it? And based on how quickly you clear it, you know, if you meet these certain other, like, sub-objectives... Or optional objectives, that determines how good of gear you get, the loot that you get at the end of it.
Okay.
Each one is supposedly, there are three areas. Once you go into area one, you kill all the enemies. You go into area two, you kill all the enemies. You go into area three, you kill all the enemies. Then you fight a boss. And then when you kill the boss, that's when you get the loot. The loot then, of course, carries over into your single player, so you can be working through story mode, be like, I don't really have time to go through this whole other mission. I can jump in here, you know, 30 minutes at a time. They're all themed, so it's based on certain enemies. He mentioned that there's like, oh, if you just enjoy fighting the Malawan army, there's a certain one that's based on the Malawan army.
That'd be cool.
There's another one that may be based on, you know, wildlife or certain planets, things like that. So,
and it's gonna be gorgeous.
And honestly, that sounds super cool to me, because there are definitely, like, in Borderlands there are fights that I prefer more than others.
Yeah.
And just to be able to go in, like, you know, and do something like that where I can just pull I could just pull those enemies in and get some loot that way, just knock that out real quick. That's super appealing to me. Also, we finally did get FLAC gameplay. I don't think we ever talked about that. The FLAC gameplay was so good that Trevor's taken him from me.
Really? He's not going to do Zane anymore?
No. Nope.
I don't understand how y'all aren't more excited for Iron Bear, but at the same time, I'm kind of happy. I'll let y'all fight over who is going to jump on top of me.
No, I was thrilled about Moe's, but you claimed her so early.
I did. I did. Literally immediately. Because this is actual timeline of events. They announced that Moe's gets a mech you can drive around on and your friends can jump on top of. I said I'm that character.
Yeah, he posted, like, so we have a group chat for the hype train where we talk about Borderlands stuff. And they're they're like, Moe's. And, like, I think, like... Asa posted the trailer to it. It's like, look, guys, Moe's, dibs.
Same message. Because she's also the one, because I use assault rifles mostly, and that's what her class is anyway, so.
Yeah, because I looked through the skill trees for everybody. Honestly, all four of them are going to be a blast.
That ammo regeneration?
Oh, God.
Are you kidding me?
No, that's nuts. That's super nuts.
Give me.
You know, Flack looked super cool, but he's got, like, because he has the critical hit tree, the sniper tree, and that's why Trevor wants him real bad, which is the tree that I was going to go down that has the spider ant for a pet. Also, you can name all three pets. So, yeah, like, I know Mr. Chu was the one going around for the skag pet, but you can name it whatever you want. Yeah, no, like, it, Flack looks like a blast. Basically, it's one of those things, like, I know I'm getting on Xbox. I'm also getting it on PC. So, like, I might play Amara or Zane with you guys, and then on PC I'll just play Flack.
That'll do
there.
Your Flack.
Just let me know who's left.
Because Zane and Amara both look, like, again, all of them look super fun.
Yeah.
All of the classes look great. And I'm really excited to play all four of them.
Yeah, and it looks, and I love that they're actually addressing endgame, you know, now.
Yeah,
because all we've seen so far is like the opening to the game.
And endgame has always been kind of a struggle for Borderlands, just in general. Because, I mean, you play through the game again and get better loot, and you keep going and leveling up. So you get that loop, but there's not really anything that...
aside from story missions.
Yeah, really. But depending on how you played the main story... If you're like me and you just kind of go through it, there's a lot of in-game content to get, like, back lore and stuff like that.
Yeah, because you don't do your, like, side missions and stuff.
It depends on, like, once I get to a certain level. Like, once I hit about 25, I'm like, all right, I can just do story missions now.
Yeah.
But I usually knock out, like, I know everything that happens, like, past... Well, I know everything now, but, like, everything past, like, the, like, reservation stuff. I was like, I knew all of that because I did all the side missions.
Yeah.
But, like... And like after the game's been out for 9 years, I have played everything.
Yeah, and then like they also do DLC and stuff too, which they're gonna do anyway. The only three things left that I think are that for me personally I think are really worth mentioning are what's the name of it? It's not Katie. Erica. Erica is a live action interactive thriller story that Shadow dropped on PS4. I need to double check and make sure that that's actually Erica because it was towards the end.
Right. You go to your next thing. I'll look that up for you.
That came out today. They announced and showed a trailer for the Call of Duty Modern Warfare Alpha. It is Erica. Okay, good. Call of Duty Modern Warfare Alpha will start this Friday. It's a PS4 exclusive, but you don't have to have it pre-ordered. It's open to like everybody is what it sounded like. Mm. It's also only the 2v2 gunfight mode, which I'm probably going to download it. Like, I'll check it out, because that's a mode that I'm actually kind of interested in.
Never been interested in those modes, like the super tactical gameplay modes.
Well, in this one, it's not supposed to be super tactical, it's just meant to be fast. So it's the, you know, best 3 out of 5 rounds, and you keep moving. Which, depending on how people play it, like, but really, I'm more interested to play it to see how it feels. No, like, how the shooting feels, like, what kind of mechanics, if they've introduced anything like that, like... And if it's a free alpha that if I can get into it, like, yeah, I'll try it. There's really nothing lost in.
Try downloading it. Yeah, for sure. I just know I won't necessarily want to base it on that because the PS4 controller, while still a massive step up from the PlayStation 3 controller, is nowhere near as good as the Xbox One or 360 controller.
Same. And then this has all just been a giant pre-show to lead into the giant info dump, in quotation marks, for Death Stranding. Jeff Keighley's going to be in the game. They did a text alert. Oh, Kojima's in the building because like they made a big deal of him actually being there, especially following the thing where Konami flat out blocked him from appearing at the Game Awards like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So they showed that Deadman, I think, is the name of Guillermo del Toro's character, but he's not. They're only basing it on his like appearance. He's not voice acting it.
Right.
They showed a trailer. I didn't understand any of it. This is all just, and I'm also not super hyped for this game. Like, I'm very excited that a lot of people are excited.
Yeah.
But no one knows what it is.
No.
You can pee. They showed that. That is Fantastic. A gameplay mechanic. And yeah, Jeff Keighley is going to be in a game. Is going to be in the game. So.
Okay.
I really hope sake that this game is going to be incredible. Because the amount of like money they put behind marketing, behind hyping it, and the amount of time they've spent talking on it and you know, basically everything that has gone into this game, for me to still not understand anything about it, is worrisome. And again, like I am not even like the only thing that has me hyped about this game is Del Toro. I Norman Reedus, whatever.
I'll see, like, him and Mads Mikkelsen, like, super into that. Like, I really like that idea. But it is, this is one of those things where it's like, I'm going to have to wait for reviews.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not picking this up day one. Like, basically, it's going to have to come out, and people are going to have to say, like, you remember Last of Us? It looks like junk compared to this. Then I'm like, okay, I'll pick it up and try it out.
Or even just, like, because I've only played a little bit of Metal Gear Solid 5. But, like, that's one of the story was whatever. But the gameplay itself was incredible, and it looked beautiful. A lot of people are just kind of hoping that's what we're getting more of that. Of just like, hey, story's whatever. It's a Kojima game. Why are you even talking about the story?
You're not supposed to understand it.
Yeah, like, just play the game, because the game itself is super fun.
About to say, be careful with bashing the story. The Metal Gear fanatics, of which I know several.
Yes, but they also understand.
Like, I really like Metal Gear, but I also understand.
We have had two separate people try to explain the Metal Gear lore to us, and both had to give up. Because they just recognized, yeah.
I had a friend of mine spend, I think, 3 hours drunkenly trying to tell me, like, it tried to explain to me Metal Gear. She was super entertaining when she was going through it. Right. She's clearly very invested and very hyped about this franchise. But, like, nothing that she was saying made any amount of sense.
Yeah, I literally I went to lunch with my friend Ben so he could try to, like, talk me through it. Because
and
I was,
it ended up being supper.
Because I was excited for the new one. And it was, like, we gave up after, like, 15 minutes of just, like, okay, none of this is... And he's like, yeah, I know.
No.
But it's great. You need to play these games. Because there was a brief window in... Was I still in college? I think I was. It was right. It was either like towards the end of college or right when I moved back to Cape. Of, you know what? I've never played a Metal Gear Solid game. I have them all available to me. I will go through and play them all. I did not do that. Spoiler alert.
Really?
Yeah. Mostly because someone talked me out of trying. Because they're like. But every game has, like, the best version of the game, and some of those are hard to find, and it's just like, you know what, this is a lot of work,
yeah,
so.
That's pretty true.
I'm just going to play through Borderlands 2 again.
That game is the best version of its game by itself.
Yeah.
If you get the game of the year, that's just extra great game.
That's really true.
There's not a whole
really
lot you need to understand.
But there was some really cool stuff that came out of Gamescom, at least, and again, this is just night one. Like, we're going to have more news about Death Stranding. Like, if you're super interested in Death Stranding, it's going to be at, like, the Sony booth.
Yeah.
Where they'll have more information available, so look for news outlets to post, you know, that information later this week. But because it's a week long event. This was just the night one ceremonies, and you know we got the Inside Xbox and we got the Stadia Connect. But but yeah, no, it was overall, like, if you've got time and this is interesting to you, I would recommend just checking out the full 2-hour show, because I think there was enough cool stuff that you can and you'll be able to, you know, fast forward through the bits you don't really care about.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, I definitely, at the very least, I need to check out those the indie Nintendo stuff, because I always like seeing that stuff. Because I almost always end up buying a game out of one of those and playing it.
Yep.
But yeah, that's going to do it for us, though, guys. Sorry about the long show.
We're not sorry. You're welcome.
No, listen, I understand.
What's our timestamp?
We're at an hour 20.
Derek is going to be so happy tomorrow morning when he sees we went 20 minutes over normal time.
Will he?
Yeah, he loves our show.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, thank you all for sticking with us this long, at the very least. And we always appreciate you. Make sure you tell a friend. Hit us up on the Twitter, the Facebooks, the Patreons. It's all of those things /Podzilla1985. We always appreciate the support. And like I said, tell a friend. See you next time.